Presents USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the servicemen and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over there. Okay there, gang, here we are with another international fish fry. And tonight we're going to run the scale all the way from Jazz Me Blues to Shortman Bread, which is another way of saying we're here to answer your requests to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. So why didn't I say it that way in the first place? Anyhow, with the exception of me, we've all had enough of me by now. So I bring you your master of ceremonies, the biggest noise around MGM since Leo the Lion got laryngitis, George Twinkletoes Murphy.
Well, 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 thank you, Ken Twinkletoat Carpenter, and hiya, men.
Pardon me, George. You know, Command Performance receives a lot of unusual mail, but the strangest letter of all is one we just received.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but what's so unusual about it, Ken?
Well, it was written in indelible ink on a piece of Swiss cheese.
Oh, sounds like a pretty strong letter, strong letter. What does it say?
Well, it's from a private over in India. The letter sounds quite cheerful, but well, you can tell it's pretty rugged over there if you just read between the holes. Will you answer it, George?
We'll all answer it, Ken. Get me a jar of pimento, and we'll send him the answer.
Yeah, that'll be a red-letter day in his life.
I hear you talking to me. Now, look, let's pull our fan mail away till the wind shifts and salute the entire CBI theater. We understand that all your 11 news stations are operating on a round-the-clock basis, gang, and our best to you all. Meantime, here's a young lady who's been commanded to appear here in the hall many times by the fellas in every theater. The one and only Maxine Sullivan.
Said the private to the sergeant, "Don't you think the bugle blew too soon?" Said the sergeant to the private, "Stay in bed till noon." Said the private to the sergeant, "All the buttons on my coat are gone." Said the sergeant to the private, "Let me sew them on. Move it over, move it over, move it way over there. There's another big load coming down the road, so move it over there." Said the private to the sergeant, "Going dancing and I need a gal." Said the sergeant to the private, "Take my wife old pal." Said the private to the major, "I'm so tired because I hiked so far." Said the major to the private, "Hop inside my car. Move it over, move it over, move it way over there. There's another big load coming down the road, so move it over there." Said the private to the sergeant, "Sitting craps and now I'm broke again." Said the sergeant to the private, "Let me lend you 10. Said the private to the sergeant, "Mother kissed me when I went to bed." Said the sergeant to the private, "I'll kiss you instead." Move it over, move it over, move it way over there. There's another big load coming down the road, so move it over there.
Thank you, Maxine Sullivan. That was swell, really wonderful. The lyrics to your song must be an inspiration to any man in the armed forces who has had occasion to move it over. Now, before we point the cue finger at our next guest, let's thumb through a little mail. We got quite a boot today to get a letter from APO 885 and see 44 signatures of that great GI outfit, the Hey Rookie Show. Hello to the Happy Valley Boys with the RAF in India, Squeeze Box Lawrence in the ETO, and to the Navy's crooner, Johnny Stokey, Tommy, Lip, Lee, Skin and Bones, and Suds and Bubbles. Howdy, Corporal Marshall Douglas at 696. And now, fellas, as most of you know, Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey made their first big success as the co-leaders of the famous Dorsey Brothers Band. Then, as happens to the best of brothers, they decided to go their separate ways. Rumor has it that they haven't spoken to each other above a whisper for about 8 years. But a command performance is a command performance. And so it's a real pleasure to present to you the biggest Anschluss since Brooklyn joined the Union, the reunion of Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey. Tommy, my boy, what do you say?
Hiya, Jimmy.
No, wait a minute. I'm George Murphy. That's Jimmy over there.
Oh, I thought you looked too good for him. Hiya, Jimmy.
Hi, what do you do with yourself these days?
Oh, I got a band. What you doing?
I got a band.
Oh, somebody told me you were making arrangements for Guy Lombardo's orchestra.
Most ridiculous thing I ever heard. It's Spike Jones.
Well, I was just kidding, Jimmy. Tell me, are you married?
Uh-huh. You?
Yeah, I married a girl named Dane.
That's great.
Not great, Dane, wise guy.
I mean, it's great that you're married. It ought to keep you out of these joints now.
What joints?
Are you kidding? I remember when you couldn't play a morning show without dunking your mouthpiece in bromo.
How about you? The only solid food you had for 3 years was boiled eggs and aspirin.
Gentlemen, please, let's not be hasty. Surely petty little arguments like this didn't spit you up?
Well, no, but Tommy was kind of a practical joker. I remember once when he swiped my saxophone and stuffed it with chopped liver.
Well, what's so awful about that?
Well, I blew one chorus of Stormy Weather. The theater looked like it'd been hit by a chicken fat monsoon.
So that's what did it.
Well, look, don't believe it, George. Jimmy pulled a few gags on me, too. For instance, we were playing the Strand Theater one time, and just before I played my solo, Jimmy took the slide off my trombone and put it in backwards.
What happened?
I vacuumed the dandruff out of the first three rows.
Well, how about cleaning up a big mess of command performance letters that swear you two happy kids are not only tops on the sax and trombone, but are mighty insistent that you play tonight with the Armed Forces Radio Orchestra. Let's give them something sweet and groovy. Fellows, the Dorsey Brothers, Thomas and James, beating out Honeysuckle Rose.
Thank you.
about that. Thank you. Thank you, Jimmy and Tommy Dorsey. Gentlemen of the AEF, in answer to your many letters not written on Swiss cheese, we bring you Jimmy Durante's scintillating sidekick, America's bright new comedian, Gary Moore. There he is now.
Hi, George. Thank you very much. Thank you, George Murphy, and greetings, men, soldiers, sailors, Marines, and Sally Rand.
Hey, wait a minute, Gary. Hold on. What's the idea of the special greeting just for Sally Rand?
Oh, I don't know. I've always wanted to be one of her fans. But, George... George, I do wish, though, that you hadn't introduced me as Gary Moore. Just because it happens to be my name, everybody introduces me that way.
Well, how would you like to be introduced?
To whom?
Wait a minute, let's start over.
All right.
What would you like to have me call you?
Oh, George, that's silly. You don't have to call me. I'm right here. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can call my sister if you like.
Your sister? What's her name?
Ralph.
Ralph?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where did she ever get a name like Ralph?
They named her after my mother.
Oh, I see. Your mother's name was Ralph.
Oh, George, don't talk foolish. My mother's name was Herman. They were going to name her Stanley, but Lillian objected.
Lillian?
Yeah, that's my father. But the member of my family who you'd really like to meet, George, is Queenie.
Oh, your dog.
My brother. My brother. Oh, it's the cutest thing, the way he feeds our goldfish, Rover.
Look. You don't happen to have a canary named Seabiscuit, do you?
You must have seen me riding him over to the studio.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to get out of here before I start barking like a cat. Take it, Gary.
All right. I'll try to. George, and tonight, fellas, I'd like to tell you the story of one of the most fascinating men I have ever known. A man named Binswanger Drinch. I thought you ought to know about Binswanger Drinch. He was born in the little town of Head Cold, Vermont, which is just across the river from New Hampshire. Actually, he was born on a streetcar, which is a pretty sneaky way to save 5 cents. And for the first few months of his life, he didn't do much of anything. Just sort of lolled around in a semi-moist condition, beating himself on the head with his rattle and loving every minute of it. But wishing to see the outside world, Binswanger ran away from home at the age of 4. At the age of 5, he came back home. His parents took one look at him. Then they ran away from home. But aside from this brief fling, our hero led a very sheltered existence. Until he was 21, life was a complete mystery to him. But on his 21st birthday, his father said to him, Binswanger, my son.
Yes, Papa.
Today you are a man. Today I am going to let you...
Papa, you mean...
Yes, son. You may look at the ladies' side of the laundry list. And that was the turning point in the life of Binswanger Drinch. The foolish boy took advantage of his father's leniency and soon began chewing bubble gum, wearing loud sleeve garters, and drinking root beer with Pepsi-Cola chasers. Eventually, he started gambling with his playmates and was even caught playing tiddlywinks with loaded tiddlies. Finally, one day, his father said to him, I warn you, Binswanger, you can't burn the candle at both ends. His father should never have made that remark. For then and there, Binswanger determined to find a candle he could burn at both ends. In 2 years, he searched every town in the United States and parts of Pomona. But it was all in vain. Then London saw him, Paris saw him, Moscow saw him, China saw him, Ethiopia, Venezuela, Central Europe, Spain and Turkey, West East Indies, Denmark, Portugal, Belgium, Iceland, Sweden, Canada, Norway, Egypt, and the rose room of his local livery stable. And at the end of his travels, he had 14 trunks full of candles that burned only at one end. Sadly, Binswanger opened the trunks to dispose of these candles. He opened the trunk marked South Africa, and a wonderful thing had happened. The horrible African heat had melted the ends of 2 candles together, making 1 candle with a long wick extending from each end. Hardly breathing, Binswanger lit 1 wick. And with hands a tremble, he touched a match to the other. Would it catch fire? Would it catch fire? It did! Then Swagger Drench was burning his candle at both ends!
Smiling and triumphant, Binswanger put the candle in his back pocket and started for home. But poor Binswanger, before he put the candle in his back pocket, he forgot to blow out the flames. And soon he felt something burning. And if you want to know what that was, well, that was the end of Binswanger Drench.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Gary Moore. Fellas, according to our command performance postal department, the entire British Commonwealth swoons when one Nelson Eddy croons. And checking past shows, we find that Nelson, or Nels, as I always call him, is the ever-ready Eddy when you put the lug on him for the stuff that he does so beautifully. In other words, gentlemen of the AEF, here is Nelson Eddy.
Thank you, Murph, and hello, fellas. We're running close to the clock tonight, so a quick greeting to the staff of the 17th Naval District and to a mob at 942 known as Rock Happy Winters, Beer Surgeon Browder, Alcohol Everts, Whiskey Nose, and Umbriago. Hello to everybody at the City Hall at 729 and to Navy 910, home of Big Feet Pete, the Calabasa Kid, Hose Nose, Big and Dumb, Flat Top, and Fenderhead. They wonder how Tojo would like to meet that gang in a dark alley. Well, thanks to all of you everywhere. Now, here's a song. This is not shortening bread. It's Danny Boy, which seemed to be a great favorite among the fellows in Africa.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountain side. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. It's you must go and I must come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. It I'll be guitar be.
Listen to a voice like yours, it reminds me of my singing career. You know, once I was a boy soprano.
Hey, that's strange. I was a boy soprano, too.
Really? When did your voice change?
The day I rode my bicycle into a brick wall with a lollipop in my mouth. Yeah, but I didn't get my big break, for radio came along.
Well, now that's strange. I got my first break in radio, too.
Well, think of it.
It was one of those early morning programs.
Oh, you mean the Sunrise Kid? Jokes and guffaws while you put on your drawers.
Yes, yes, I'll never forget our first program. It went something like this.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Brotherly Love Finance Company is on the air. And now, we present those two snappy chappies, Murphy and Eddie, come to get you out of beddy.
If you should need money, we'll lend it. Just borrow $1,000 and spend it. And if you don't pay us, we doesn't dismay us. We just take your neck and we bend it.
Well, 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 well. Good morning, all you lucky listeners. Good morning, Nelson.
Good morning, George. Well, here we are, your old friend, the Sunrise Kid.
I can't stand it. He's too happy.
You miss me. Yes, sir, we're the Sunrise Kid, back on the air for the Brotherly Love Finance Company. And now, for a word from our sponsor.
Do you need money? Well, drop in at the Brotherly Love Finance Company. No interest, no collateral, no carrying charges, no signature. Just make the payments whenever you please. And when you're all paid up, we let your wife out of the bear trap.
And now we bring you the correct time.
For those who live in the east,
10 a.m.
For those who live in the west,
7 a.m.
For those who live in the Rocky Mountains,
I get it's cold up here, isn't it?
So don't forget, when Brotherly Love Finance Company. Brotherly Love Finance Company spelled backwards is...
Slug him again, Charlie. He still owes us a buck.
And now to prove to you that the Brotherly Love Finance Company always gives a square deal, we have here in the studio with us four satisfied customers. Who's the first one?
Ken Carpenter. Mr. Carpenter, what do you think of the Brotherly Love Finance Company?
Well, I say it's wonderful. I say it's great. I say it's the most wonderful finance company in the world. And I'll keep on saying it. As long as they shove those hot needles under my fingernails.
Thank you, thank you. And here's another satisfied customer, Mr. Don Wilson.
Mr. Wilson, what do you think of the Brotherly Love Finance Company?
It stinks.
Thank you, Don Wilson. And now here's a man who is one of our oldest customers. He just borrowed $10,000 from us without security, Mr. Harry Von Zell. Will you tell our listeners how we've treated you, Harry?
What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
No, you have.
And And now, Mr. Bill Goodwin, another of our clients. Mr. Goodwin, will you tell us your frank opinion of the Brotherly Love Finance Company?
Well, certainly. I'll be glad to. It's doing a magnificent. I never can pronounce those small words. Go look it up in the dictionary. It's the word that comes after magnanimous circumlocutionary.
You have just heard what four of our satisfied customers have to say about us. No other jerks can make this statement. And now it's time to sing our theme song. Would you gentlemen care to join us?
Why, certainly, sir. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Never mind. We'll handle it.
All right, here we go with the Brotherly Love Finance Company Quartet.
Money.
We loathe it to deny the need. You pay it. Oh, yes, indeed.
Money.
We'll get you out of the red.
Just leave your right arm and head.
Money.
If you haven't got the zoo, don't be blue. Come right in and we will take good care of you.
If you're behind in your rent, we charge 33%.
Mola.
If you should decide to keep low and fair,
we'll put a nice round hole right in your head.
No reference, nothing to sign.
Just leave your IT behind.
Happy.
If you're looking for the cash, you'll build a house.
As for Joe, you couldn't find a nicer louse.
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm Joe.
How do Joe?